Oh, yeah. That's right. Wow. It is The Mess Around. You push the right button. I am Richard Stubbs, as always, and I am keen as mustard and up on my toes, and I'll tell you for why. My only radio job has ceased for the year, and that means, well, I'm full of beans. I'm not spread too thin. A man who is spread too thin, you can see through him. He's the stand-up master, gigging up and down, up and down, up and down the coastline, making them laugh and then getting in the car and travelling on. The Kwai Chang Kane of stand-up, if you will, just wandering the earth. I give you Andrew Rober.
Hello, everybody. I like that. That's, oh, the Kwai Chang Kane of stand-up. That's the best thing anyone's ever said about my career.
So you'd enjoy that.
I mean, let's be fair. He had no money and no
home. Oh, and no ambition and was going nowhere.
Yes.
In fact, was on the bones of his ass for every single season.
Constantly.
But unlike you, took quite some time, 20-something minutes, to get cross enough to turn someone into catmate.
Yeah, I know.
But eventually they're going to push him too far. And,
it's still
that.
My guy. I hand out the wisdom at the comedy, you know. I have to tell people, but I call people grasshopper at university and they don't know. And I go, wait, and I sit them down. I go, Kane? No. Just snatch the pebble? No. All right, sit down.
Oh, God.
I insist. Hey, wait.
What am I waiting for?
Wait, sorry. This just occurred to me. This popped into my head. Thinking about things that people don't know about and you have to tell them about.
Sure.
I was sitting next to a university friend of mine. And someone was talking about music and they mentioned Bruce Springsteen and he had this look on his face like, who?
Who?
And I went, Bruce Springsteen. What do you mean? The boss, Bruce Springsteen. You've never heard of Bruce Springsteen?
Did you do what you're actually doing now, which is just say his name repeatedly?
All of a sudden
that will make sense to the person? Mm-hmm. Is that what you were doing?
I thought if I kept saying it, he'd go, oh, Bruce Springsteen. Oh.
In what world does that ever happen? It's like when someone's angry, telling them to calm down. No one in the history of the world has ever calmed down when asked to calm down.
Mm.
And it's like they're not going to suddenly go, oh, Bruce Springsteen. Oh, I thought you meant.
But you know what happens next is then you have to do some songs.
Well, boy, please, USA, God, you didn't do them.
Born in the USA. He starts singing.
Really? There's a thing called YouTube. It's really handy. It's on your
phone. That eventually. I did. And then I said, oh, well, that's okay. I've had this experience before. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, a mate of mine in Edinburgh, this is like a grown-up man and everything, never heard of Creedence Clearwater Revival. Never heard of them.
Never heard of them.
Right?
Never heard of them.
Never heard of them. And the kid I was telling this to went, who? I went, So, Kwai Chang Kane.
I mean,
Bruce
I don't know. There's so much wrong with all that. Not the least of which is why do so many of our stories involve you spending time with children?
Well, yeah, okay. It's okay.
I mean, thank God uni's over, and you don't frequent. You know, the stories of you going to, oh, it's a party, and they're all 12.
Yeah,
I mean, they're
all 12. Yeah, okay. I'll do less of that now.
What do you mean less?
It still comes up. It still happens.
What do you mean? How?
They're not all 21 yet, Richard. There's still a few. There's still stragglers. I'm still on the coattails.
Let me try to understand because I'm confused. Mm. Are you going to 21st as a guest? Not like, hang out and then after, you know, you'll go because it's the.
Yeah. I'm just about doing speeches of admitting that May 21st. I have to get up and, well, he's a lovely kid. We all love him at university. What's his name? Yeah, him. Oh, yeah, no, we all. He's fantastic. Doesn't know who Bruce Springsteen is. But other than that, we all love him. We've done very well. Round of applause, Mum and Dad. I do a lot of that. That goes on.
When was the last time you went to a 21st? Surely not.
It might have been very recent. We'll get to that in a minute.
What?
But you can mock the fact, but one of the – the individual I'm talking about with the – didn't know who Bruce Springsteen is is a former listener of the week.
Okay.
Josiah, his name is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You say that like it carries some sort of an incredible imprimatur and that
– does.
And that folk will step aside murmuring politely when they hear those words or that it will somehow say, oh, it's difficult for you – for him to be so dumb if he's listening. Like, it's not a Nobel Prize, mate. It's not like, he's got the Nobel Prize. He'll probably follow this argument. Like,
I keep telling you, T-shirts. There should be T-shirts or a cap or something.
Snow globes. People
would wear them proudly.
Snow globes.
Anyway.
Again, I say snow globes.
Yeah, snow globes. Snow globes. All right. But here's the thing. What he's doing, I've discovered. I didn't know this. So he's got a long drive back and forth to work now, right, because he has to work on the other side of the world. But so he has to have lots. So he said, well, so what are you doing? He said, I'm listening to podcasts. I said, what podcast? Oh, Mess Around for sure. Okay, good. So he's gone back to episode one.
Jeez.
And he's one of those people working his way through.
Wow.
Episode one, two.
I mean, hats off to them. They, you know what it's like to me? I watched the Adam Sandler Spaceman movie the other night. Fascinating. Not a good one if you don't like spiders, is all I'll say. And it's that whole traveling a long way from Earth, time is different. You know, we're in the future, he's in the past. Yes. Oh, Jesus.
Relativity.
Relativity. Time, time travel thing.
Yep. Fast you go. Yep. I know. I'm well, we discuss it if you want.
No.
Okay, good.
Hey, you know, speaking of just explaining things to people, I referenced something. In fact, I referenced it again because it had come up a couple of months ago at Christmas. One of my beloved's nieces has a boyfriend, and he'd supplanted me as the golden one. Everything about him was golden. He was just, look at him. He's so good. And, you know.
Wait. When were you the golden one? I missed this.
What?
When were you the golden one to be
supplanted? Well, I was the only one.
Oh, all right. Good.
So, by definition.
Cool. All right.
Yeah. But suddenly, play the song. There's a new kid in town. I don't want to hear it. Anyway, that's fine. I wasn't seething at all. And then at Christmas, we saw a sudden reveal, a dark shadow. Sweetie, he went like Bilbo for the ring.
Yes.
And I've said that several times to my beloved, chortling happily, going, who's got two thumbs and is back in as the golden kid? And then did a lot of pointing at myself. And she's like, what are you talking about? Anyway, I've quoted that to her. And eventually tonight, so this is, I don't know what day it is. I don't even know what month it is. But it's a fair way since Christmas.
It is, yeah.
I've said it. And I go, do you know Bilbo with the ring? And she went, no. What? That's the difference.
Wait.
This whole time she's just going, ah, ha, ha. And gone, it's just something stupid. Oh. So I, of course, showed her and she went, oh, yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, that's how he went. That's good. And I didn't have the heart to go, well, what did you think?
Yeah.
He went like Bilbo for the ring meant.
Oh, now that's upset me.
Mm.
Because I told you, I mentioned the comedy show I did where there was a guy, this you know, swarthy, handsome-looking guy with long sort of blonde hair, and I kept calling him Fabio all night. Oh, look at Fabio, a big, huge laughter. And as everyone was walking out at the end, they go, I said, do you know who Fabio is? No idea, no. You know the model Fabio? No idea.
No, that was sad.
It was a funny name.
Because if you look, when you should Google, when was Fabio hit in the face by a goose?
I know, yeah, I know.
And just as a point of reference, because that was in the twilight of Fabio, that was kind of, he was past peak, that was after peak Fabio. And even that incident is about a million years ago.
Jeez, well, I think what we're saying is none of our references work in any way, shape or form.
Nope.
Okay.
I said to the bloke who I get my coffee from, normally I get my coffee from his missus, but she was out the back and so I got it from him. And I made some comment and he nodded approvingly and I leant in and said, smarter than the average bear. He was not familiar with the works of Hanna-Barbera. He's far too young to know that I was referencing Yogi. And he, you know, comes from Cambodia.
Yeah.
Two things I could have thought about if I'd given it a moment, but I don't see colour. That's me.
No, you don't.
Mainly because I'm not thinking. Special. Anyway. So I explained to him that he was, because he was wondering why I'm just smarter than an average bear. Like not even smarter than he wondered why bears were the standard thing to be smarter than anyway.
Smarter than.
Anyway, I'm just saying that you're not alone in your references being out of date and antiquated.
Yes. No, it's awful. There was a TV, I was talking to screenwriters about a TV show and there was a secret squirrel reference. And I went, who put the secret squirrel reference in? Secret squirrel. And they went, we don't know what secret squirrel is. It sounded good.
We've heard the words put together.
I went, right. And I often wonder how many of the Mess Around listeners are out there going, we don't understand any of these references at all.
No idea. There's plenty out there. But then I like to think too, because it's global, 11 countries and rising, I like to think that it's small people in caves going, finally, someone else has they've referenced something from Star Trek, early episodes. Thank God. You know, I like to think we're in the darkness binding them.
Good. All right. Okay, good. Well, I'll take my appalling nervous anxiety about that now and just calm it down and continue with my references.
Yeah, I didn't say that. I didn't say continue. No, I just don't know what I said, to be honest. What have you been up to? What's the week of Andrew Roper been? Is it busy? Intro that you're a gigging machine.
I'm in fact a gigging machine. I've been up and down the coast. I've been to Byron Bay, Land of Hemsworth, and I've been back up the Sunshine Coast to Maroochydore.
Did you do a bit of your Hemsworth material? Did you do the Hemsworth board joke?
No.
Couldn't take it down. Did you give it that one?
No.
What the hell? You're one of the few people in the world with a good 10 minutes of Hemsworth. Crowds around the world.
I don't want to tell stories, but I'm going to tell stories. Yeah. There's a mate of mine here who's been down there for the Byron Bay Comedy Festival, and they did a show. It was all good. And I think it was Liam, some of the Hemsworths were there. Chrissy wasn't there, but some of them were there, and they loved it, and they were back at the house, and they were having drinks, and it was all great. And I thought, if I'd have been there, I would have had 5 minutes of Hemsworth material, which would have either endeared me to the Hemsworth clan or...
Yeah, chased down the street with an angry mob behind him.
Get out of Byron Bay and never come back. That could have happened, Well, I tell you what did happen. I went to the Sunshine Coast and this thing happened to me, and I don't know if you've ever had this. You know when you're doing a gig or sometimes when you're MC or whatever...
Your fly was undone?
Well, there's that. I've done that many times. And someone comes up to you and gives you the secret, goes, oh, here's my card. Here's a secret... You know, like, oh, that's really good. You ever had that? Where they go, oh, you should ring me. You should talk to my people. That sort of thing.
Oh, are these muttered half sentences and snatched phrases your way of saying, have you ever had someone come up and say, hey, I've got a gig you might want to do or be interested in and giving me? Yes, of course.
Of course you have, but they're always
dodgy. Why do you
dodgy.
Make it sound like it's espionage?
Well, because they're always dodgy. Like, this guy came up to me last night with this thick Eastern European accent. I'm like, what? And he's giving me the card. The card doesn't look like it's got anything to do with comedy.
Yeah. Did you see yourself and Rihanna at a oligarch's party? You're doing a tight five, Rihanna finishing off with Umbrella.
Yeah, no one listening, no one caring, but you're making a mint. Mm. Yeah. But it did remind me of the time, and I'm sure I mentioned this, the time when I was at a place, it's like a speakeasy, so it was sort of very... Well, it was.
Is it the 1930s?
Yes.
What do you mean? I mean, the 1930s.
Well, it was. It was like it was a bar and everything. And I did the bit, and I got up, and this attractive woman got up, and walked through the crowd towards me. And at this point, I thought, here we go. Here we just happened.
No, you didn't. You didn't even think she was walking towards you.
I was looking around, going.
No, you just thought, clearly there's someone behind me. That's.
So then she came up next to me and just sort of come past me and just sort of reached down and just secretly put a note into my hand. Like that. And at this point I've gone, this I'm looking at the other comedians going, this is what happens. This will be a room key or
this
something.
This is the magic. I can't turn that off. I'm a blue light, like in the butcher shop. And it just lures them. I can't even turn it off. That's the thing. I can't.
And I've quietly gone, quietly unraveled the note. Oh, here we are. And it just went, do you think you could do my boyfriend's birthday party as a comedian? Ring this number. And I was just a bit crestfallen.
Really?
In that moment, I went.
Did you honestly think, like, if a strange woman came up to me and gave me a note or something like that, I'd instantly think it's either completely related to work or it's some kind of bet. Mm-hmm. Or I was talking about this with my brother the other day, and we were saying, if someone came up and in any way, tried to crack on, I'd just be dialing my beloved going, did I look different going out the door tonight? And if she goes no, I'll go, right, all right, there's something up. There's a camera somewhere.
Oh, look, I went home, told the beloved all about it. She laughed uproariously.
Yeah, of course she would. Yeah, she's with me.
And I didn't do the gig. I was screwed up putting the bin. I went, no, I'm not interested in your boyfriend.
No, well, it'd be hideous. I've done – have you ever done a lounge room?
No. Oh, I just don't. I can't do it.
And I was young too, and they were old. And it was a lounge room in the suburbs, and there was – so no lighting, no microphone or anything. It's a lounge room. And two things that made me feel dead inside. One, they didn't know that the comedian was going to do a comedy. It wasn't like, oh, yeah, they love you or something. Nah, didn't know me from a hole in the ground. Didn't even know comedy was happening. Two, they're not pissed. They're just standing around politely, you know, in the background a bit of bossing over, tall and tanned and young and lovely. And they're just standing around going, well, I see the share market has gone. And then, oh, a bit of shush. Here's 30 minutes on the foot. Oh, that was. I still wake up in the night screaming.
Yeah, they're the gigs. They're the ones you remember. I've never done that. I've done the, a couple of times, I've done the restaurant around the table, which is weird because, like, where do you position yourself? Because it's a long table. So you can't. It's not
Worse than that. I've done the Pratt family.
Ooh.
Right. So I've done one of the younger Pratts.
Yeah.
Right. No, at Raheen, they were having like a afternoon tea party and I was going to do a gig, again, early days, this is a long time ago. I was doing a gig in among the tables, so no microphone, no light, a lot of rich entitleds, young folk, and me just going, and then – that's right. This is takes me back. Then I had to go get paid. And to do that, I had to go to their house, which they wasn't Raheen, the giant pile of bricks that they've got. It was another house over the road where they lived. And I went in and Pratt's in there and he's going to pay me. And he's just lying on the couch watching TV, doesn't get up, just hands a check over the top of his head. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Scum. Anyway, there you go. I've done. Hey, speaking of gigs that make you sweat and stuff where you think, why, I had a thought for you.
Okay, good.
You're a gigging machine.
Yep.
Your best buddies with the bloke who runs the sit-down comedy club.
Oh, yeah.
One word for you. Cruisers.
Oh.
They can't be far away. It can't be far away. Yeah, right there.
I know. There's people. I know people who know people.
Oh, we all know people. Yes. I know. Are you kidding? Oh, yeah, I know a lot of comics. That's all they do.
I know.
Now, it's not for me. I just crawl up in my stateroom and weep for my life and where it had gone.
Look,
but I think it might be fun if you did it.
It'd be funny. I mean, you don't mean it'd be fun. It'd be amusing.
No, it'd be fun for me.
Yeah, it'd be great. Mm. Look, I'm not keen to, and the Neville's not keen for me to. But I think I should do one. I think I should at least say I did one in my. So we'll put that down as a potentially.
Here's the other thing I need you to know about it. Cruisers are a bit like, I don't know, something strict. Like the first thing you're going to see is a boss who'll talk to you like you're an employee, and there'll be a whole lot of rules that you strictly must abide to.
I'm hoping it's like the bloke.
Listeners
on the
everywhere are going, oh, geez, that's not going to go well.
That's not
going
to work, no, not at all.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's what it is.
You have like, isn't it Julie on the Love Boat comes out with a clipboard?
Yeah, but Julie's not the Julie you know. Julie's more like, welcome to the cruise. We've never had a successful escape. It's that vibe.
Yeah. I do know plenty of comedians that do it, but the trouble with the cruises, if you do two shows, you do one show, they all hate you. Well, you're on the boat. You can't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. Next morning with your tray of food.
So you need to be good first out.
Well, that rules me out.
And you're a pressure player.
That's true. And plus, but as I have been known to, you know, go into the audience and, you know, chat. So if I upset someone.
Oh, no, you can't do any of that. Because if you roughhouse with some of the crowd and then bump into them at the stuff,
No,
that's not going to.
The shuffleboard will be nasty the next day.
I wonder if they still shuffleboard.
I'm sure they do.
Do they? What do you mean you're sure?
I'm sure they do. They have everything on these things. They have cinemas and
yeah, but why would they still have shuffleboard? It's not the 1930s.
They couldn't not have shuffleboard. People go on the cruise just for the shuffleboard.
Well, there's nowhere else where you do shuffleboard, is there?
That's right. Never seen it anywhere else.
No. It's not like, oh, I was at a party and a shuffleboard broke out. You don't.
Yeah. When they get on board and they say, right, we're going to have this, and this is where your cabinet is. Yeah, what time's the shuffleboard? Yeah, well, don't
worry.
It's
on. It's running constant, 24-7. Get out there, shuffling.
I've never played it, actually. It's
no. Well, I've never been on a cruise.
No,
well, I have, but I was a tiny child.
Oh.
You haven't been on one, so no, we've not shuffleboarded.
No,
we know of it.
No. Call now if you've been on a – oh, damn, it's a podcast. Yeah,
it doesn't work like that.
Yeah, okay.
And is shuffleboarding the bastard child of curling?
It looks a bit like that, doesn't it?
It does to me, and just, I'll admit I'm not an expert in either, but it just seems to me like someone went, this is fun, and then they were travelling somewhere on a boat and went, you know, we could modify it.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe not with the brooming, but certainly with the sliding action.
But you got to be gentle because that's if you're on a ship, that's why there's not a lot of volleyball and stuff because if you – well, the ball goes, oh, it's gone. Like no one's going in to get it.
No.
It's a shuffleboard just – it's gentle.
Yeah.
You know, quoits, you know, you can do that. But, you know, not the – cricket doesn't go well on a, on a cruise ship, you know. You're six and – oh, it's gone again.
Six and out. Yeah, you're out, all right, and we need unlimited
Well, I'll look into it. There's levels of cruise ship too, they tell me. There's the there's the really top ones that pay or
– yeah, that won't be you.
That might be me. And the next level down, they're not too bad. You know?
No.
And then it's like, oh, down the nasty. You're sleeping in the engine room. With
well, no, how about this one? You're sleeping below waterline.
Yeah, pretty much.
No, you are. There's, there's like,
I don't know. Just in the, I want to sleep in the engine room where they're shoveling coal. That's just
again. In I don't know what it is about you, but you, your whole vibe is that you're a child living in the 30s.
Yeah,
they don't shovel coal. There's no speakeasies.
Yeah,
a lot of your sayings. 23 skidoo to you.
Yep.
All those sort of things. No, they don't. They're not.
I just want to be in an Indiana Jones movie.
That's yeah, you do. And I mean. One of the early ones, presumably.
One of the good ones.
Yeah, the later ones.
Just... No, don't talk to me about the last ones.
Yeah, I haven't had the energy to
say. Angry. You just get me angry.
When you're sitting with young folk, do you mention Indiana Jones? Is there any knowledge of Indiana Jones, the later films?
Any knowledge of Indiana Jones. I had someone, I swear to God, I had someone say once, they went, they looked it up, I was Googling something, and they went, oh, Harrison Ford was quite good looking in, back in the day. And I just turned around and went, yes, yes, he was. Yes, he was like a movie star and everything. Was he? Yes, he was. Oh, someone kill me. Yes. No, they don't. They think Harrison Ford's the really, really old guy that was in that last Star Wars movie.
And I'm still, I'm still caught with you at 21st.
Oh, me at 21st.
Because I can't imagine what you talked about and I can't imagine you.
Okay.
Are you on the dance floor doing your patented putting baubles on the Christmas tree dance? And then
that one.
A string in the lights, throwing the tinsel, you know, all these moves to music in the dance circle. Is that you? And then the sprinkler.
No, I'm just waiting for Rick Astley. When Rick Astley hits, I go, this is me. This is my jam. And I hit the floor. Well, okay, here's an example. Here's one I did. Here's one that's not totally different to what you're thinking. Went to a 21st, right? Wasn't dance floor like you're imagining. Okay. Wasn't a big party. It was just a nice little sort of just a dinner, you know.
Family, and you're still in that inner sanctum of someone.
In the sanctum.
Who's was one 20, of those, turning 21.
It was one of those ones where you turn up and you go, oh, hang on, this is too inner sanctum for me.
Oh, I would not. Be because you would stick out like something nasty on the sole of your foot.
Yeah. But this one was at a teppanyaki restaurant.
Just a quick, I think I know the answer. But just a quick one. Had you taken the Nebel out for a lovely dinner at this birthday party?
No.
Is she accompanying you is what I'm saying.
No, but we did discuss this. This was a discussion. This was a discussion after. There was a lot of, and afterwards you went, oh, well, I could have gone to that. I said, well, you could have, but you were against the idea
of
a
21st. Well, she heard the words 21st and went, stick it right up.
That's right, right up your jacksie. And then I've gone, actually, it was a quite nice restaurant. What? Well... So that was, that was the miscommunication. But now, have you ever been to a, you've been, of course, been to a teppanyaki.
Oh, yeah.
Those of you that haven't been, like describe what happens with the.
So imagine a almost a square dining table, but the center of the dining table is in fact lower than the rest of the dining table, and it is, in fact, a hot plate.
Mm.
And the food is cooked in front of you. The chef mutters something, and you think he's talking to you, and you go, oh, I have that one. And it's not enough that he whacks it on, stands there with a crownie, and touches it a bit and then hands it over to you.
No.
It's not that kind of barbecue. Mm. He's into it. He's got a hat on, and he's with the egg, with the rice, catching it, spinning it. Hey, you hold that, and I'll flick it to you. And I used to take the kids, and part of their happiest times, in fact, I think if I mentioned it to them now, they'd still scream with laughter. We were at dinner once, and he flicked a hot thing, and it went straight into a baby's mouth. And everyone, the parents were just sitting there exhausted. They'd gone out for an early dinner. My kids laughed so much they fell off the chair, which, you know, made me chilled about it. Anyway, that's teppanyaki. Teppanyaki is not a restaurant where you go, ah, let me get this, and you toss your credit card onto the table. Don't do that. You get a melted credit card.
No. Well,
is that teppanyaki? Does that sound like teppanyaki?
I certainly didn't do that. But interesting. See, what I'm saying to you is when I was there, I realized that a lot of the people around the table hadn't been to a teppanyaki restaurant before.
Okay.
So I was the one. So the chef, the cook, the teppanyaki dude, right? He started with me. He wrote his name in salt, and then he gave me the salt, and I swung it round and reverse backhanded it, and we played noughts and crosses, and I was going. He was very impressed. Then later on, he flicked bowls in the air, and I reached out like bang, just caught it. No problem.
Were you supposed to? Was he flicking them to you?
Yep, to me, and I didn't miss a beat. I was ready for everything, amazing. And I was doing that thing where you got to give a little bit when you catch, so you don't bounce.
What he just said there, I just want you to, if you're listening to this, just pause for a moment because that's real knowledge.
Yeah.
Andrew just dropped on you there. If you go to a teppanyaki restaurant and you have hard, stiff hands.
That's it.
You're going to get hot shit all over you. And then people are going, ah, ha, 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 because you can't catch a dead cat. So what you need to do is what Andrew's just talked about. Imagine that your arms and your hands are firm, right, but not too hard. But they're not buttery. They're not giving way. But your hands are firm, but your arms are a spring.
Mm.
And you, as it lands, you down, and then you can is scientifically you're burning off the inertia of the object dropping the springs. And that's how it stays in your bowl because – you might think Richard's put a lot of thought into this. Yeah, because it's all under the category of I don't like to spill my food.
That's right.
So whatever we're doing, I'm going to learn how to do it. So I eat. That's what we're doing.
No food goes to waste. Well, I look, that I was magnificent at this time because there were people spilling rice everywhere. Yeah. There were eggs cracking on people's heads. That's yolk going, and he threw everything at me. He threw two at once, eggs, rice across the room. Nothing fazed me. Everything's bang, bang, bang. Try something else. Bang, bang. People were amazed. At the end of the evening when he finished, he put the blades away and I got a standing ovation on the table. I'm the teppanyaki ninja. My skills were next level. Nothing got through. No food got wasted.
This is just fantastic. I mean, this is very proud. This is a dream. If only you'd known that the only way to bring you down was to flick a chunk of steak at you.
Yes, that's the only thing.
That would have and aim at your mouth. Everything get some of that.
Don't want that. Everything aimed at, caught everything in my mouth, everything. And the other thing I did, which you'll be pleased with, was the person to my left didn't know how to use chopsticks. Wait. You must know how to eat. You can't. You'll miss out on food. I just leaned over and said, like this, and grab it, and eat, and shovel it into your mouth like this. So I was very – it was not often I go
that's
to
a good
dinner.
Party.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not
everybody
sure.
else covered in egg and rice and hated it and just laughing. And me just sitting there proudly with my –
I don't know. I think the little kid whose birthday it was had dinner and there was a clown there who put on a show.
Oh, look, it's
so
all
I
the
think
attention.
In many ways – that person's 21st was like their fifth. So
a little bit. Yeah. Oh, look, all the attention was dragged away from him. And
were there speeches?
Oh, but no one cared by that point. Everyone was just so in awe of my ability. I think when people go home, they're not going to remember the speeches. They're going to remember that guy that
caught
everything.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's good work.
What a week.
I've had my own bit of a week. I took my beloved to the movies and we saw Taking the Steps.
Oh.
The Collingwood documentary.
Oh, I'm jealous.
Yeah. those of you who came in late might have just spat your tea when I said those words, but my beloved turned to me, her eyes like limpid pools, and said, hey, babe, can we go to the movies? And I love the films. I'm all about movies. And I happily said yes, not knowing that there was, in fact, a Collingwood documentary being shown, like where adults go, normal people. Mm. It's just like a normal film. Mm. Although I will say the crowd was different. It was a different crowd.
Different vibe?
Well, if they weren't in leopard skin, they were in black and white.
Yeah.
And a number, right, I want you to remember it's still, it's the tail end of summer. It's not summer, but, you know, 30-degree day, 6 o'clock session, still 30 degrees. Several, a number, wearing scarves.
Yes, as you would.
They're wearing their Collingwood scarf.
Yes.
Quite a few in Collingwood regalia.
Yes, absolutely.
To go to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay. It's the heartwarming tale of the finals, the run for the finals.
Yeah.
I thought, geez, we're going to go through the whole game. No, it's the run for the finals.
Good.
And it follows specifically Darcy Moore, Nick Dacos, and Pendles.
Oh, well, look.
And there's a fair amount of Craig McRae too. A dollop.
Yeah, love a bit of,
a dollop of Craig McRae.
Yeah, Craig McRae, friend of the podcast. Yes. We were on board. We were on board from day one. Go back. Josiah, when you're going back through those episodes, you'll hear we were on board with Craig McRae. Anyway, go on.
There's no use talking to him now. No, this he is won't the whole thing it. With time travel. He won't hear that until light years into the future.
No, it'll be like 6 weeks in advance.
It's like light from a distant star.
Yeah, basically.
So, I sat through that. And here's the thing. My beloved and the folk around, a milling, toothless crowd of ne'er-do-wells, all got tense as the games unfolded.
Yes, of course.
And I'm like, okay, this didn't happen. Like, this was just a couple of months ago. Like, you shouldn't be nervous about this. And then there's a lot of that during key moments and a lot of that. And then at the end, of course, applause. When they win the grand final, spoiler, applause. Oh, people can't help themselves. They have to applaud.
Well, you got to. It's like edge of your seat stuff. What's going to happen?
It wasn't edge of your seat stuff. That's my point. You can't not know what's going to happen.
No. That's like my
mother. A surprising number of people were at and it wasn't like a baby cinema. It wasn't like, put it over there. No, it was like a normal cinema.
Yeah.
And it was a surprisingly busy, like it's middle of the week, 6 o'clock or 6:30 or something. Yeah. Middle of the week. And there's a surprising number of folk there.
I would have been there. I'm bitterly, bitterly disappointed that it's not being shown here.
Well,
I would have been there. My mother would have been there. My mother watches the grand final regularly, and I always check with her. Did they win this time? Yes, they won again. I was worried.
Well, my beloved's in a Facebook thing where they just keep posting a new picture every day with a reminder that we are the 2023 premiers.
Yeah.
So, and she murmurs that to me. Billy B has thrown, I want to say his VB, down on the ground listening to this, because he sent me a fairly impassioned tweet. Richard, you held your ground regarding not going to the footy to watch the Pies. Please don't roll over and go and see the so-called documentary. And then there's five or six vomiting emojis. Ruined my birthday forever. Oh, and there's a holiday, angry face censored emoji. I don't know when his birthday was. There's I don't know what it, maybe it was on the grand final. Ruined it forever. He's touched on something, though. I realised something pretty sickening.
That you caved?
No.
Okay,
I wasn't caving.
All right,
we had a whole episode talking about do what your partner would like you to do.
Yeah, sorry. Yes, all right. Yep, I forgot.
And at no time did we call that caving.
No.
In fact, we just – anyway. No, here's the thing. I realised, geez, I know a lot of these players. Like, I know a lot – oh, Bobby York. I know a lot of them. I know a lot of the moments, and I went, oh, my God.
Right.
I've got passive Collingwood gain.
Yep. Yeah.
I am sitting watching games so much that I've absorbed knowledge about it. And what about this for a bridge too far? I thought to myself, because my beloved's murmured about, oh, I'd love to go to a game, and I said, we're not members of anything, and oh, I don't know how the Collingwood membership works, and I can't, you know, it's only one ticket and blah. And then I quietly thought, well, what about an AFL membership? Yeah. you know, yeah, Collingwood don't travel. They only play at two grounds. Mm. What about just that? AFL, go, you just go there. So I've inquired because I knew nothing about it. And I inquired and, oh, yeah, there's this and there's the bottom tier one where you can go to a few games. Yeah, a few would be plenty. That's all right. We don't need to go to millions. Yeah, here's the thing, though. Two tickets and to be in the allocation for the finals, you also have to put in your club preference.
Yes.
And then so then they and you're registered with them. And then if they're in the final, you get the ticket. And I went, wait a minute. Does that mean if my beloved's in as a Collingwood and I'm not, there's only going to be one seat allocation if Collingwood? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I said to the dude, I waited 40 minutes to talk to someone in person just for this reason. I said, mate, how secure is your data? What? Have you ever had a data breach? Like, do people hack the AFL a lot? No, I don't think so. Because what you're saying here is that to make this work, I'm going to have to put my preference as Collingwood for the team.
Yeah, you are.
And he went, well, yeah. I go, but what if this? What if you have a breach? What if hackers get to you? And this gets, I can't, I mean, what?
Or worse, what if the algorithm reads that and they start sending you Collingwood stuff?
Like oh, geez. What if Ed's rolling around half smashed and happens to stumble onto the podcast and listen in? He'll go, finally, and send me stuff.
Get him on.
When my baby boy was born, he sent round a Collingwood supporters pack straight away. Good man. It was a little black and white, little jumpsuit. Jeez, teeny tiny nunchucks.
Got a lot of time for Ed. well, I've thought about this, though. What if, wait, if you consider this, what if the Swannies get into the finals as well? And then you go, well, you go, oh, you can't. No, you're down as a Collingwood supporter.
Yeah.
that'd be magic.
I don't know. It's just too awful. Everything's awful. Yeah. I mean, what's awful is I've realised, oh, my God, Collingwood are my second side.
Yeah. By default, they sort of have
well,
to.
Well, beyond default. Like, I know more about them. I've been to functions and
you could tell me all about the Dacos handball in midair to Goey for the goal, couldn't you? You've watched that over and over.
By the way, that's in the documentary too. And then they replay it in slow-mo just in case you didn't kind of get it the first
greatest
time.
Greatest moment of all time. It's unbelievable.
That's what they all said.
Well,
so that's what I mean, greater love hath no man giveth up his life for his.
I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you here and move things along because I can feel your pain. I can feel your suffering. And I just say you can't join the greater Collingwood following until we clear up the issue of the fungal feet.
Ah.
Because we like clean feet.
No, you don't. There's no evidence of anyone in the Collingwood army liking clean anything.
Yeah.
Much less feet.
We have been – people have been stopping me in the street and going, what's happening with this scientific experiment?
We've uncorked a big one. Good. Social media has erupted. And it's all points. Marie Young just coming in 3 days ago, coming in just going, so when do we find out? Is it fungal? Many question marks. David Johnson, we could introduce a third option, flesh-eating spider.
Ooh, okay.
Anyone want to set up a book and take odds on various afflictions of Richard's foot disease?
Oh, gee. I just thought going into that.
Marie, straight back. My goodness, that's worth thinking about.
Very good. Okay.
Savas, peritonitis. Fucking hell, Stubbsy. TMI with the feet. Heard this with my morning coffee, and now hours later, I've got bloody images of your rotting feet.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Sorry, mate. Sorry.
Settle down. Pull back.
everyone. Well.
He's gone OTT there, but okay.
No, he was touched emotionally, and he's in the grip of something. He's feeling it, and that was his truth. And I don't think you can pull the reins on that.
All right.
No, Milk Clayton's just been working on the serious thing, which is Tim? Was that the farm? What was the pharmacist thinking? Because the pharmacist has me down as Tim in a text. Did they just pick a random couple-y name that gelled with your beloveds? Yes. Bright side, if your wife's name had been Jackie, your welcome text might have been, hi, Tacky, All right. I mean, sure. Okay, this come bottle's on. Half full.
All right.
But no, the feet. So
the feet, get back to the
for those of you who came in late, you might be going, what the hell is going on with these clowns now?
Mm.
Fair question. Mm. I had a weird kind of skin peeling sole of the foot situation. And I brought it up carefully and hesitantly because feet are that weird thing that some people don't mind. A lot of people are weird about. Other people are so weird about it. You take pictures and sell them on the internet and live off the proceeds. Seriously, I mean, it's a big world and in all, everything's possible. But oof. Anyway, point is, I brought it up. My beloved was saying I needed moisturizer and I was feeling like it was a fungal type of infection. So the only way to resolve it was to get two types of cream and put one on each and stick with it.
Mm. That's and, how
the results
that's how we've set it up. That's
I'm,
the
just reaching down. I'm feeling it now. Oh, jingoes, look at that. That foot is like a baby's bottom.
Mm.
Smooth. Perfect. With a giant crack in it. Mm-hmm. This one. Oh, gee, okay, that was good. I've had a win. That's what I want to tell you. I've been putting on the Lamisil. The antifungal thing with hydrochloric thing. Mm-hmm. And it's all come good.
So hang on. The antifungal has come good.
Yes.
And the moisturizer.
Yeah, it's all right.
Not as good.
Not as good. And also, can I just say, it hasn't been easy walking for a whole week with this stuff and I'm wearing thongs at the minute.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not been an easy thing to do. I've had to grip desperately with my toes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the results are in.
Yes.
And a week of treatment, more or less. I got bored. I forgot it a bit. Then I used twice. Then I forgot which side of the which foot I was doing with what. But I think it was scientific. What I am going to say to you is you could just about eat your dinner off one of my feet.
You could. You could.
So that's something and, for everyone to think about.
Big shout out to all those who had fungal in the sweep. Well done.
Yeah.
Well, I've got two questions. One, how's it feel to be the only person I've ever heard proud and happy about the fact that his foot was a fungal infection?
Well, top of the tree.
Good.
A number one. That's and, who's up there? Who's on the winning team? This guy.
And second, how did the beloved take the news? Did you?
I haven't broken it to her yet.
Oh.
Well, she's still on a giddy high from Collingwood. She's still weeping and murmuring the song and just reliving all the thrill pack moments. And wasn't it exciting when I don't want her to come down off that cloud, be brought to earth with a sickening thud when I have to show her. Look at this. Look. Look what you've done, woman. I don't think she'll. I will, obviously. And that isn't just me being too scared. I'm going to mention that because I felt a certain energy, like a lot of people might have been thinking that, and it isn't.
Because there's glee in your voice, and I would have thought that as soon as you just confirmed the win, you would have gone up.
But it's like my Tats Lotto tickets. Like I don't check them straight away. Because if I check them straight away, until I check them, I've won millions. Oh, what will I do with it? As soon as I check them, they're all gone and I've won nothing.
Well,
whereas this, I've had a win. Now, as soon as I put the win on the table, there'll be a bit of to-ing and fro-ing, but that's it then. It's gone. Whereas I can make it last by going, had a win. As soon as I bring it up, it'll be slapped away.
I think you're going to be scared. You're going to wait too long and then the other foot's going to get better and you won't have any evidence to prove your point and then it'll all just fade away. And she'll go, no, that was all nonsense.
I mean, that doesn't sound like something that wouldn't happen.
That's true. And then you're going to step up and say, wait, I've got something in my groin. This is nasty.
Yeah, it's climbed it's upwards.
It's got to be fungal, surely.
It's got to be. Oh, no, it's got legs. And we're back to Adam Sandler, Spaceman. Gee, and that's a good joke if you've seen that movie.
I haven't yet.
You've no idea what I'm talking about, but
I haven't seen that. I haven't seen Dune 2 yet, but I'm going.
You know, speaking of stuff and speaking of being afraid, I think it's time that I launched myself boldly into the frontier of social media. I was looking at my social media profile. I was just looking across the board. And what's the professionals one? What's that one? you know, your business, your work things are on.
Peninsula Floor Heating.
No. What?
Peninsula Floor Heating. No, no, the. So many.
The social media thing. What is it? What's the.
Yeah, man. What's the. About?
Everyone logs in and you're on. LinkedIn.
Oh, LinkedIn. That one. Yeah. Oh, no, I'm not on that. No, I'm not.
Okay. Well, I was looking at mine. And I went, nah, that's all wrong. I've got to fix that. And then I thought.
You go to LinkedIn. Gee, yeah, I'm going to see this. Oh, that's. Because LinkedIn's all serious and yes. jobs and what
well,
you've
that's
done
what I thought,
and all that.
But I'm not. Yeah, but I've got the wrong look. It's not. Anyway.
No, LinkedIn.
So I thought I've
got
to do the LinkedIn. And then I thought to myself, if I'm doing the LinkedIn, should I move on from the squirrel in armor on my Instagram? Should I make that a real thing? And I went, oh, I just don't know where to start. I don't know what to do. And then I thought, hang on a minute. Wait one big fat minute. I know an Instagram guru.
It's me.
And it is you. So I'm going to ask you, here I am. I've got a base. I've got a number of followers who have just been with me for quite some time, even though I've never posted on Instagram. What do I post first? And what do I do? Is
well,
it real? Am I putting the feelers out to do a reel? I don't even know what words I'm saying now.
That's right. You're saying them good, though. You sound convincing.
Yeah.
First thing you should put out is a warning to your Instagram followers that content is following. Because if you just put it out, someone will have a heart attack.
All right. So my first post will just be
warning.
Some text. Warning. This account is about to become active.
Become
content
active.
Content will follow.
Imminent.
Imminent.
You do that.
Please act accordingly. All right. Yes. That's a good idea. I'm writing that down.
Everyone stay calm. I find that what I've discovered is I put stuff up. I mean, I obviously I have a – and someone pointed this out the other day at a gig. They said, you are the king of social media. You put up messages about gigs that you've done after you've done them, which is great and we all love it.
Are you supposed to sell seats with it? Like people come along and go, oh, he's on so-and-so, I'll go along and see him.
Yeah, apparently. I put it up afterwards and go, it was really good. And they go, well – yes, but that's...
Would have been nice to have been at that, but I didn't know about it.
No help at all. Hmm. But people tend to comment. They get excited, and listeners here, they get excited, and they comment stuff like, oh, look at you. Well done. You know, they're just pleased that I've posted something. Look, you've got music on this one. Wow. You've come up in the world. Seriously. And the other day I did the one for the... I had the captions and words and everything. They're like, oh, look at you.
Yeah, you were so proud you texted me going, have a look at this next level shit.
Yeah, he didn't care.
No, I went back. I sent back something appropriate. I think I said, well done and good on you. And
well, you've got reels and you've got stories and they're slightly different. And one goes to a bigger audience and one goes to your people. I just do both because I don't know what I'm doing. And then sometimes you have – I just post stuff. I got a gig coming up and I posted it and I got a comment from someone saying, when's Richard going to do this?
Oh, sorry. Is it still going? It's my fault. I asked the question.
You asked the question. Anyway, so what you do, and then you get Listener of the Week. And you're gonna
what?
We should post Listener of the Week. Ah, that's what I should do on Instagram.
Is that still going?
I'm going to give it to Marie this week. I'm giving it to Marie.
Really?
Yes.
Because of her just can't wait, needs to know about my
needs to know. Bang on. That's going up, and I'll figure out a way to get it on Instagram.
Don't let anyone ever tell you that you've achieved nothing in your life, Marie. Don't let anyone ever say that. All right. Well, there's been a lot of sickening revelations in this episode, and none of us are going to be left untouched by the information that's been divulged. But going forward, I do know what my first post will be, a warning. Brilliant. That's look for that. Right now, though, that's us. That's we're leaving, and you're left just standing there, bewildered, checking your feet quietly and thinking to yourself, well, that's time I'm not going to get back.